College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk about the last weekend of the regular season. Some good old college football. And if you needed a reminder, which you really shouldn't, but it's a factual statement to say the regular season, as far as team sports goes, we've been saying this for years, the regular season for college football is the best regular season, hands down, beyond. I mean, this week proves it once again with the rivalry week, of course, but the rivalries, the upsets that can happen off of that, just so many things happen in the regular season. And, you know, if you're 12-5 or even 13-4 in the NFL, that's a damn good season. Obviously, you have four losses. That's not a great season. Per se, right, in college football. So, once again, man, we had all sorts of crazy games that came down to the wire. We had upsets kind of galore. We had Michigan beating Ohio State again. Oregon somehow giving up a large lead deep into that game. And the way Oregon State came back, it's just unfathomable. It's unbelievable. Washington took care of business at Washington State, but it didn't matter. Utah did as well, and they're going to meet USC. USC takes care of business, and Caleb Williams really coming in for a late push here. Now the leading Heisman candidate. I think you have to be the leading after that weekend because of Ohio State losing and how CJ just kind of was in the lead for forever because, you know, he was putting up numbers, and they hadn't lost. Well, all of a sudden, the roles are reversed. So we have a ton to talk about. Obviously, you know, we do have some interesting championship games this Friday. Don't forget, not Saturday, but Friday, Utah and USC, the rematch from like, 43-42 or something like that, 42-41. I don't remember the exact score, but it was a great game. Same with TCU Kansas State. I think maybe your casual fan thinking, oh, why? I mean, they're 9-3. Why the hell would Kansas State be only, you know, a 2.5-point underdog? Well, if you watch that game the first time, you'll know exactly why. UCF and Tulane, the rematch from a really entertaining game. And Clemson and North Carolina, both took L's in the last week. That kind of makes that game a little bit more interesting. We'll see if Purdue can, like, give Michigan a good game. A lot of people up by halftime have, but then they get blown away. So we got a lot to look forward to when it comes to next week. We were just talking off air how, there's plenty of – as far as pros and cons with expanding to 12, there's probably more cons than pros from a hardcore college football fan. Now, from a casual fan, though, you know, it's going to bring more ratings. And also, after this coming week, at least one, if not two of those rounds will be in December. So you get, you know, you don't have to wait a month between, you know, big-time matchups and big-time matchups. So, but if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeandope radio. However, you don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeandope and download the show there or listen to the browser. If you don't want to, you can find the Ropeandope Radio podcast platform on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. One more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. The prices start as low as $49.99 a month for 2 months, I should say. If you go with the Choice or Ultimate package, that gives you 3 months of Showtime, Star, Cinemax, and Epix. It's $160 saving. It's the best of live TV and on-demand. There's no annual contracts. No hidden fees, plus you get to enjoy regional sports networks without the additional fee. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. You know, before we get into the action, we do have some coaching news. I mean, whether it's Auburn, we thought it was going to be, you know, a Marshall favorite with Lane Kiffin. He signs an extension, so we have more, you know, coaching news than this in the coming days and weeks, of course. But the big one, obviously, Auburn, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. Some big news there. Are you happy that your guy Lane Kiffin is staying put? And then the Hugh Freeze thing at Auburn is kind of funny because obviously his track record has baggage. You know, it's got a lot of positive on the field stuff, but off the field there is some baggage there. He comes in, two or three years off of coaching at Liberty. I think it's 2 years. But then, like I said, Wisconsin and Nebraska hired some marquee names in the college football landscape.
Yes. God, I got distracted. I had your Wolves on. Kristaps Porzingis hit 3 threes in the first minute of the game.
Sweet, bro. Thanks, man. Really, you know. Really, my whole mic down now. I really appreciate that, man. Thanks.
It's early.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's what my mom
said. I didn't know he's Stephen Curry. Holy cow.
We were watching the Vikings. That's what my mom said. It's early in the game.
Uh-huh, sure. Right, real early.
So, off to college football. Yes, I'm happy Kiffin stayed. I think I was pretty convinced rumors were true because most of the time when you see the college coach say, hey, I want to stay with my guys, you know, he's giving that speech to be respectful to the players. But a week from now, you're going to say, okay, Lane Kiffin is at Auburn. But maybe he was telling the truth. So maybe when he did rip that guy on Twitter for saying, hey, that's news to me and I'm going to Auburn, he was being honest. Or maybe they didn't offer him the deal he wanted. But nonetheless, Ole Miss gave him, I believe it was an 8-year deal now with around $78 million a year. So whether he did it on purpose or not, a lot of times when you are in those coaching.
You said $7 or $8 million a year?
I believe, yeah.
Okay. It sounded like you said $78 million a year. I was like, what did they do? A year?
Okay. So maybe that was a bargaining chip to help him too, you know, which can't hurt. Maybe that influenced Ole Miss to push their pocketbook towards him when they heard he might leave out to Auburn because Kiffin's done pretty good there. So, yeah, obviously Hugh Freeze, the guy, he did have a sketchy track record. He did win at Ole Miss, speaking of Ole Miss. You know, there's a lot of college football coaches who I think have some sketchy track records and they're still coaching, you know, and hell, sometimes they even go to the NFL, you know, not to name names. But, and then for Wisconsin, again, hey, we were talking about before the show that Luke Fickell almost got a non-Power 5 into the playoff. Like, I mean, what more can you really do as a coach? He did get them in. He finally got them in to face Alabama. So, I mean, if you can get a non-Power 5, sorry, it took him a couple of years, but you can get a team like Cincy, who has always been decent since we've been alive, Chris, but never, like, elite. If you can get them into a Final Four, you know, you're
they
now
beat
going
Power
to,
5 teams, too. They beat Notre Dame. It wasn't just getting by. That's probably what, as far as non-Power 5, lately that's been, I mean, the Mountain West has fallen back a little bit. Isn't that the best non-Power 5 for football?
It's for sure right there. Yes, sir. So, hey, that's a great sign because now you're going to a school that has probably more money, more facilities. It's a little just a few steps ahead of Cincinnati in general financially and obviously with the TV contracts and all that and Camp Randall. And Wisconsin's just had a longer longevity of success in football for the most part than Cincy. And then for Matt Rhule, again, you turned around Temple. You had a good run at Baylor. NFL was rough, but again, that NFL is rough in general for anyone. Hell, even took Belichick a long time to get going, and he's maybe the best coach now in some people's opinions. So Rhule's out.
Saban and Urban Meyer did not do good there, and they're elite level college coaches, right?
Yes, and at least Saban, for all we know, is a decent human being. But yeah, hey, just you're in.
Yeah,
Nebraska.
The way he lied all off season to the press, that was pretty decent of him, wasn't it?
So they need something. Again, if you're a Nebraska fan, hopefully that works. Scott Frost is supposed to be the answer from what he did at UCF, which is, again, rivals kind of what Fickell did at Cincinnati. But that just never panned out. And I think they even gave him a little bit of longer leash. But at least they were smart like USC and didn't give, you know, like they gave Clay Helton a cup. I'll give him another year. Well, no, dude, hey, we gave you your, what, 4.5, 5 years. It didn't work out. Let's try a guy who's rebuilt some programs again, who have less luxurious offerings than, you know, or I should say Nebraska is still, you would assume, has more to offer than what a Temple did or what a Baylor did for history and recruiting, if he can get it back there. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out. That was some big news. I'm sure we'll have some more news coming over the next couple of weeks. Speaking of coaches though, Chris, I'm going to say, okay, so as a coach, your goal is to win games. And I mean, Ryan Day has won games. He's won of his last probably 23 games, he's only lost two. But when the two you lose are to a guy that you know you butt heads with, man, I got to give Harbaugh credit that you've now defeated your rival. And again, those guys go back at each other all year. But I was amazed at all of the big plays Ohio State's defense allowed. Michigan on the year up until that game, Chris, had three offensive plays of 70 plus yards. And two were against Hawaii and some other Colorado State, so some bum schools. But just it was like Ohio State had never seen a play action before. I truly think the media of, like, you know, because the last year the thing was Ohio State got punched in the mouth because Michigan was a tougher, more physical team. They ran the ball down your throat. What are you going to do about it? And the whole offseason, Ryan Day, we got to get physical. We got to win the line of scrimmage. And maybe you tried to, but dude, again, you got out-jocked again in the second half. You scored 3 points.
Yeah, it was the second half too, because first half it wasn't like that. That was what was so surprising about it, you know?
First half, it really, Chris, it really was a back and forth that Marvin Harrison had a nice little 40-yard kind of streak route and got a touchdown. But to give Michigan credit, again, in the second half, just like last year.
Fourth quarter especially.
You never really felt like Ohio State was going to win the game. Like I was watching because I teased Ohio State, but like in the third quarter, their Ohio State had no rhythm on offense, and Michigan broke some big plays. But again, they controlled the line of scrimmage. And if you're going to give Ohio State the love they deserve, which again they had a great year, and I mean it's not over, but whatever. But if you have the best wide receiver in football, which people say Marvin Harrison Jr., and you have the up to that point, the Heisman favorite or second favorite quarterback, how did you score 3 points in the second half? I mean, I know neither of us are a diehard or Michigan or Ohio State fan, but man, if you're a Michigan fan, dude, you've made the neat crow now for 2 years in a row. That's the first time y'all won there since 2000, and it's the first time they beat the back-to-back rivals since 1999. Hats off to Harbaugh. Because he took a lot of shit his first couple of years there. He was struggling to win the big games
up until last year.
And he'd struggled against Michigan State at times, which he started to get over that hump. But now you beat Ohio State 2 years in a row. And that'll give you kind of a free pass for however this, even if they lost the Big Ten, which I don't think they will to Purdue. But even if they did, you beat Ohio State 2 years in a row, you beat them pretty well. Hats off to Harbaugh. That was, again, two games in a row now where you've just – been the more physical or better game plan team. I don't know. When you saw the press clippings, it was just like, oh, this loss has bothered me all year. Well, even if it did, I guess this one's going to bother you all year again now because Michigan got your number. So hats off to them.
Yeah, and that's why I think this whole Day stuff now is it's kind of contradicting based off what we just saw play out with Harbaugh, right? I mean, Harbaugh had those two just nightmare, you know, scenarios with the punt return block. You know, all he had to do was punt coverage.
Sure.
And they'd win that game. Dude scoops and scores, breaks his hip in the process. And then, did he get a first down? I'm still not sure in overtime against Ohio State. So, you know, before we start dumping on Day saying, they got to move past him, and I'm not saying we have here, but I've heard plenty of that. And it's like, well, hold on now. Hold on. This just played out before our eyes now these last 2 years. And the crazy thing is this off season, on signing a Harbaugh's in Minneapolis, talking to the Vikings. So that makes it even more like, wow, dude.
That's pretty crazy. And if you line up, you know, like you said, as long as he gets by Purdue, but if you line up who they, you know, potentially would play, not Georgia, more than likely in the first, as long as they take care of their business, which they should, all of a sudden you go, well, this is a better opportunity than it was last year to win the national championship. Because, I mean, it really is, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah.
who's probably going to make it?
You're right.
That's kind of a, you know, all of a sudden they went from, shit, you know, we got beat up by Georgia last year and in our first time finally getting it through, you know, the Ohio State stuff. And so kudos, like you said, to Harbaugh. Also, I want to say after 12 seasons or 12 or 14 seasons, David Shaw has resigned from Stanford. And that's something that it seemed like it was going to be, the writing was on the wall. If you look at the combination, you know, the whole transfer portal, a lot of people want to complain about it. If you're a team like Stanford, that really means a lot because you don't just, first of all, it's hard to get into the goddamn school. So to just get transfers left and right, you're not going to bring in, you know, 17 new guys.
Sure.
It's not going to happen, period. And
you can't be getting JUCO kids from Washington or Cali College because they ain't going to make it into your school for grades.
Well, forget JUCO. I'm talking about guys that are on rosters, transfers.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
they've already been at some place and they're going there. And it just – so that's huge. And if you don't think it is, you're smoking something because that's a huge thing in college football. And then, to be honest, I'll say this. Since 2020 in the COVID scenario – it's documented. He had it the roughest as far as his campus and the limitations of his team.
True.
To be able to work out. So that, yeah. I'll say that because he was a damn good coach up until the last few years. So, I think that's worth, I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy, but I think you have to really look at it and say, yeah, this is different there at Stanford. But just to go back, 216 yards, but in the fourth quarter to get Edwards to get who we didn't even know if he was going to play or not for sure, you know, because they went with their main dude, but he went out right away. And Edwards, we didn't know. He didn't play last week. He was kind of MIA, not that he was MIA from the program, but they just kept it a little loosey-goosey, 75 and 85 yards. I mean, it's the largest home loss Ohio State has taken since 1976, when it was 22-0 against, that same Michigan squad. But just wanted to add a little bit there.
Well,
and like I said, just to talk about Finkel really quick, like to produce 9 pros last year, outside the Power Five, that's pretty crazy. His recruiting's definitely going to go up, man. It was huge. What were you going to say? Because I was going to go to USC next.
Okay, I was going to go West Coast. We can go East Coast. That's fine. Go ahead, sir.
I said USC next.
I said UNC. UNC. I heard my Tar Heels.
Yeah, I wanted to talk the North Carolina game, man, because that – yeah. Actually, maybe I should talk the Bama game since anytime they're 20-point favorites, I just act like they don't even exist. Although they did win by 22, now that I look at it.
God, had them 22.5, and they won by 22. But okay, yeah, for the Trojans, they didn't let the game get that close. There was kind of like a little bit of a sense of like they had the lead. Their offense was humming the whole game. Caleb Williams was probably etching the Heisman name in for himself the way he played, and the tougher game that Stroud had. So. Hey, UFC, I expected it to be close. It sounded like the whole nation of gamblers on Twitter and everyone's trendy pick was taking Notre Dame. But again, Chris, we talked about this all year. Notre Dame was a decent, good team on some weekends not. Like, if you look at their wins and losses, they were, and again, to give them credit, that was their first year as a coach there for Freeman.
Yeah, they're not bad.
No. They're not making
it. 0-2, so shit.
They're not making
it. That was pretty good. You know, yeah.
Yeah, they're not making the Final Four this year, but I think for his first year to have a highlight of pretty good wins and some tough losses. But if you're USC.
They found themselves a quarterback now, too.
True. Yeah, but for USC, they just did what they had to do. Again, offense is what's going to carry them as far as they can go. Again, dude, it almost, I'm not going to say Michael Vick, because I still think Michael Vick was like someone on Madden you could use that would drive people nuts. But there are a lot of plays where Caleb Williams, for college, because you can't do this in the pros, you will literally get decapitated, injured, or your time will serve its course. But in college, he does have the athletic ability to kind of make a magician play and just kind of pull a rabbit out of his hat. Because there was multiple plays in that game where he felt the pocket was pressing down on him. He does a little scurry back of 10 to 12 yards and then runs up 15 yards for a first down. Or rolls out of the pocket, jukes past two people, and throws a rope down the field for 25 yards. Like in college football, Chris, that's something you can enjoy. That guy clearly has the pocket presence to, in college, do that. And he has the speed to do it. Again, in the NFL, if you do that, linebackers will say, what up, dude? I'm as fast as you, so we ain't doing that shit. But he's put together a hell of a year. And Lincoln Riley, as a USC fan who has not been happy much for the past 15 years, this isn't even that good of a team. Like, I know that they have the talent, but again, defensively, USC, man, you gotta be optimistic, because I don't think many people thought they would be quite this good. There was some talk at the start of the year.
They're not a great team.
No.
But they're very good.
And speaking of recruiting.
They got better, too.
Yeah. And speaking of recruiting, he's going to get all sorts of boys coming to play there now, because when USC is hot, like, their recruiting is, it's going to get improve even more. So for them,
well, especially
you took
moving
care,
into the Big Ten too.
True, but you took care of business. You never really let Notre Dame stay in the game. Offensively, you did enough, and defensively, you weren't an absolute doormat. So hey, props to USC. You got a rematch now with Utah, and hey, again, the whole nation was betting on Notre Dame. So sometimes when every one of the country seems to bet one way, go the other. And I'm happy in that case it worked out for my Trojans.
Well, hold on. When you say the whole nation, they were a 3-point favorite going into the game. So,
the consensus of like gambling, I think there was Notre Dame was receiving more money. I'll say that from a gambling standpoint.
Okay. See, that's you put it differently. And it was 5.5 at some point. So it did go down. You're right. I mean, I think the Michael Vick thing, because it's not what he does with his feet. Running straight up. So I don't think Vick's a good comp. I'd say, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, in college, he's doing what Patrick Mahomes does. Like, it's not all just making you pay with a 40-yard run and having linebackers run into each other and stuff like that, Vick was doing. This dude, and, every once in a while he's going to take a big sack because sometimes you just get caught up and you're like, oh, that's 19 yards, too. Because, but this dude, because the line's good, but it's definitely not great. And we've seen that play out this year. And this dude, it's like the normal plays work pretty good, but when the pocket breaks down and he can maneuver, and then find someone for first down, he's really put it all together. And I'm happy that, he's going to go next year. And so he doesn't come into the Big Ten, West, the first year we got to face him. Of course, they're going to have another, elite young dude coming in behind him. But I don't know if, the player's going to be as good as this, right? This guy seems more generational than that. But, they had it. They had it pretty much, like you said, the whole time. It was like they pushed it to, 10-point game, and they responded right away. So, big win, and they needed these wins because they needed quality wins. And obviously, it'll be really interesting to see if USC beats Utah to be like, well, that's our only loss, too. And if you beat them cleanly, right, especially, and I'm not saying you got to beat them by 17 points, but if you beat them cleanly, then you go, well, shit, we lost on a 2-point conversion, and now we beat that same team. I'm not saying that's not like a loss, because you still lost, but that's pretty crazy, and that really helps you, come rankings-wise. I mean, who knows? Maybe K-State, I don't think they go above – well, we don't know. Let's find out Tuesday, but I don't think they go above TCU or anything like that. But a lot of things went their way. I guess the only thing you could say is Oregon not winning you know, did kind of hurt them because they would have been in the top 10, and that's another quality win or whatever. I guess that's really the only thing. But let's, speaking of Oregon, Oregon State, huge lead. I mean, a big lead. It's just unbelievable. It's one thing to come back from that deficit, Marshall, but it's how they did it on the ground. I mean, the final five drives for Oregon State, 19 carries, 143 yards, and four touchdowns. This is college football right here.
So it just reminded me of, you know, in the scene in Dodgeball where he, like, puts on the blindfold and they're like, well, that's a bold strategy. Cotton Seoff pays off. I feel like that would have been the perfect gift for this game because, again, as my co-host said, Oregon State Beavers were down 34-10 with 8 minutes left in the third quarter. The last pass that Oregon State threw was a one-yard completion that got fumbled, which led to Oregon's touchdown to give them 34 points. When they were down 34-10, they did not run for the rest of the game, Chris. How in God's name do you win a football game down 24 points in today's football and not throw the ball once? I mean, speaking of like Madden and Michael Vick, if you were Oregon, how are you not simply like, we're going to put 10 men on the line, we'll have one safety, run the effing ball, we dare you. Like, I would honestly love to go back and watch like that whole film of the fourth quarter. Because, I mean, what were the safeties doing? What were the linebackers doing? I realize I'm not a college coach, and I know that every team has their pros and cons, but if you were Oregon, like, how are you not selling out? And if you were, credit to Oregon.
I mean,
Oregon
there was
State.
Some missed tackles, I'll say that, because I saw the game. It definitely was a missed tackle, but you're right. It's unheard of.
It is. And, again, I was shifting around games. There was so much going on at that time, but, again, massive props. I kicked myself, too, because I've always liked watching the Civil War. But it's from like a night game. I normally have it on. But, dude, hey, credit to Oregon State. Like, how cool is that? And then another bonehead decision to wrap up Oregon's here. When, aside from the fact you couldn't call a run defensive play to stop them, was why in the hell is Oregon with an injured quarterback, which you documented last week, Chris. He, when you watched Bo Nix play, he was not the elusive fast guy that he was. You're up 8 points, I believe, up 7 or 8 points with 8 minutes to go. It is fourth and one on your own 30, and you go for it. And you had a little Bo Nix rollout to the left. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
put the
I
ball.
Agree.
Dude, mm-hmm. you know that this team for the last 15 minutes has been running the ball religiously, okay? Maybe we're struggling to stop the run. Put the ball. Make them run the ball 70 yards down the field. You went for
and you're coming off a fumble on the previous, possession, too. So it's like, I agree. I thought that was ridiculous, man.
And then to give credit to Oregon State, like Oregon had a bunch of plays where they had a bunch of personal fouls, not personal fouls, but a bunch of penalties. They were able to hold on. But, dude, that is one of the craziest stat anomalies I've ever heard of. That was just insane. But, again, you know, it's become a thing, Chris, I feel, where, like, if an NFL or a college coach does something nowadays, you're like, well, the analytics, it's like they use analytics as a crutch to defend their decision, even though they did something idiotic to which a fan base might be like, dude, what the fuck? The what the bleep moment was, again, running on your own 30 and with a quarterback who's got a bum foot.
Right.
Like,
it's,
man,
like they were trying to surprise him like they did last week.
I think
he's not running. So they're all of a sudden out of nowhere. You're right, though. And then credit to Oregon State for that. I mean, they had a 12 Oregon had a 12-play, 72-yard, 5-minute drive that they, you know, couldn't cash in on fourth and goal, you know?
Can you imagine being – that stadium was like the half-construction, half-based. Those 30,000 people must have been going like crazy. Because they've always kind of been the stepchild in that rivalry. It's always been Oregon for the most part of the past 20 to 30 years.
Yeah, man. In Washington, that was a high-paced game. Kind of knew it going in, but it really was. 51-33, they win. Central Florida lost to Navy and just barely hung on to South Florida, already knowing they beat
Tulane and Cincinnati. I think there was a little lackadaisical stuff there. Louisville, freshly ranked, they get beat by Kentucky in that rivalry. Kansas State handled business so they could advance 47-27. Tennessee didn't fall for the old okey-doke in losing to Vandy. But South Carolina beats Clemson, so back-to-back
yes.
top 10 wins,
yes.
Which is pretty crazy to end the season. Good for them. It kind of sucks now when you look at their season. You're like, so why weren't you guys a little better? Like, why didn't you get this out of your quarterback these last two games? If you look at his numbers before, they were just freaking horrendous. The Iron Bowl goes Alabama way. TCU put up 62 points. They were not going to be denied. LSU, now my co-host can hack the coach for actually losing at A&M rather than a couple of weeks him saying, wouldn't that be, oh, you know, now he can because they did kind of the same vibe as who was I just talking about? Central Florida, where like, oh, we already got locked up, got caught slipping. And then, you know, you look at A&M and you're like, dude, so when you go against top 10 talent, you're in the game, right? You win the game or you're almost winning the game. And then the rest of the games, you're just like, what the hell? They got to be kind of all up in knots there. But Tulane, Cincinnati, that was to go ultimately to the AAC. Big win for Tulane. They were 2-10 last year, and now they host a game. That was pretty big. And then that Florida State game was pretty interesting as well. NC State knocks off North Carolina. So both North Carolina and Clemson come off, as just kind of roll into the ACC final with no national implications a whole lot. News and notes when it comes to that as we kind of sort out what happened on Saturday and look towards the future.
I just got to go back to that old, not Ole Miss, for LSU. Like, dude, Clemson lost. Ohio State lost. That you were about to backdoor yourself into the Final Four if you could beat Georgia, which is, again, not impossible. That was just, like, I'm not taking a shot, but, Coach O.
Well, it's too late. You've been taking shots all year. Might as well not hold back now.
Well, I'm just, again, Kelly's had a great year there, but I think this was a player motivational angle. Now, Coach O is clearly does not have the X's and O's, and he admitted that. He brought in guys to help him, like, with that standpoint. But from a motivational standpoint, whenever there was a big game that he was part of, his players pretty much always showed up. For whatever reason, it just seemed like
LSU was never – You're talking about in 2019 or these last 2 years before he got canned?
Before he got canned, but
they were 6-7 last year, dude.
I'm just saying, it seems like in most rivalry games or big moments, like his players came to play. And for that game, though, like you never just had a sense that LSU was just like they were never really in the game. Like I know the scoreboard indicated, but if you were a team who is on like a heater, like that, and they had their defensive player getting all the love, like the Harold Perkins, like I just don't know how that happened. Because that was an A&M offense who was anemic all year. And you were due to Clemson, Ohio State losing, you had to feel like, holy shit, if we win this game, we actually have a chance of making the Final Four. And then you lose to a team who's not even going to a bowl game. That one just surprised me because this whole year, like, they did not have that letdown spot. But I think, Chris, that's kind of why we love college football, where, again, with a year LSU was having, oh, dude, no way. Clemson or Texas A&M, they're not going to cause any issues against LSU. And then Texas A&M, his offense looked like a new version of what we hadn't seen.
I mean, they did something completely different. I think that's why they won the game.
Yeah, I was just impressed. And again, I just really thought LSU was going to win that game and then go to Georgia. Maybe they, and again, that is part of the thing we talked about throughout this whole year. We've seen it over and over, and that could have been a typical spot too, where you maybe got caught ahead looking. And can you blame them? The whole year,
well,
the press.
That's why it's not shocking to me, because we see this. It's not as crazy as you're saying in my mind, because you're right. They needed to get there, but did you? How much money would you have put on LSU to beat Georgia, though?
I think they would have had a chance, I mean, I'm not saying.
Yeah, dude, they're in the game. They're in the championship.
Yeah.
They still have a chance. But I'm
true.
Saying,
you're right.
How confident did we? We were kind of counting Georgia in, even with the two. They'd have to beat Georgia to get in. And we can't guarantee they get in, but we think they
true.
Get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'd be deserving to get in when you beat the number one team to close out the year. I mean,
for sure.
If that were to be. I just think, I don't know, like, to say Coach O always got him up for big games, why were they 6-7 last year? Then? Like, I don't know. I just think you don't like this coach, and you've been piling on him all year. But this is one worth piling on, though, so I do.
That's fair. So, I mean, the fact that him and Dabo and Ryan Dale lost on the same day was kind of a special pot. Unfortunately, Penn State won, or else it could have had, like, a quadfect of Franklin losing, too. But again, like you said, maybe big picture, if I step outside the fact it's Brian Kelly, again, that is college football, where your team is sitting in good graces. I mean, shit, I would have bet a lot of money a couple weeks ago, Chris, that Tennessee was a shoo-in for the Final Four college football playoff, because all they had to do was beat South Carolina and beat Vandy. And they beat Vandy. But, yeah, you're right. That's what makes the sport we love fun. And, yeah, damn, just what a crazy last couple of weeks, really, overall, of college football. And I know when I thought you said UNC, just the one quick note on that, they did play NC State. I guess NC State was a little motivated because when they were interviewing the NC quarterback, Drake May, who's like a potential first, second round quarterback pick, apparently this last week he said, well, you know, people that want to go to UNC, go to UNC. And like, we pretty much made it sound like NC State just gets people that are rejects of Tar Heels. Like, we don't want their trash. Like, if you can't make it to NC, then you go to NC State. Well, you know, if you're going to talk trash, you better back it up. You know, if you're going to say, dude, we don't need those. We don't, those kids can't make it at Chapel Hill. Shit. And you lose the game. That's a tough one to swallow, my friend. That, again, part of trash talking college football. You got to back up your trash talk.
I mean, that's not good to do the week of. Like, there's really no point of that. That seems
it's a ballsy statement to make when you're the quarterback.
Especially, someone that has it. And they ended up losing in double overtime. That is funny, though. The wild, wild west of the Big Ten West gets even wilder down the stretch. Somehow, some way, Iowa didn't get off to a good start. Collected a bunch of wins in a row. Then they go down like 21-0 or something right away to Nebraska, end up losing that game 24-17. So Purdue back ends it in there. And I actually had a Nebraska plus 10.5 because I thought, dude, they'll hang with them. You know, Iowa's not beating people by, you know, double digits much. So they could, barely put up double digits in general. So I thought that, you know, they'd hang with them, but that one was a surprise to me. It's like, whoa. Of course, my Gophers getting the job done at Wisconsin to bring home the axe. That's back-to-back for the first time since 93-94 and three out of the last five, when it comes to the Badgers and the Gophers. So that's always good. The crafty, crappy pick of the week came through, baby. So
cash it.
I mean, was it 9-4 then?
Hey, 9-4 of the year. 9-4, baby.
9-4. 9-4, you know, you're definitely putting money in your account. I think is it 9-4 back-to-back years, then 8-5 or something like that?
Yeah,
it's popping.
Yep. You're right. Yeah, 8-5, 9-4, 9-4. That's pretty damn impressive, man, I got to say.
That is impressive, man.
You know, there's one person that listens to this show that's like, I can't believe I do this shit, but, you know, he's been betting that bet for the last 3 years. And he's like,
right.
Those guys actually won me a lot of money.
Well, I remember last year, a couple times I think it was two different times we put some money on it. And this year I put like, I think it was one bet or two bets. But, you know, I don't know if I want to do it next year because now, you know, it will have an off year or something. It'll be 7-6. That's still making money. But, man, it's like, man. A little $30 or $50 teaser on these bets, man. It's like, why not? It's kind of like Social Security, you know. You're just stacking up the money a little bit, you know. You just get that. But yeah, any final words? Because we're 40 minutes of the show, so we should start to get to some of these you know, championship.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah. So let's have a fun little discussion, because up until this point, when I was listening to my Vegas podcast driving home, and they made a good point, which I was kind of blindsided on, but realized, you know what? They're right. And I'll ask you this. If TCU loses to K-State in a close game, should they still make the playoff? And originally I was thinking, you know what, in my head, like, dude, they're probably going to get bounced out because of their name. Because let's say this was Texas or OU. If they lose, they're probably still in. But if TCU loses, Chris, and you're on the committee, would you keep them in, or would you drop them down, let's say, over an Ohio State or a USC?
Well, I mean, to say that, so does everybody win then? Like USC wins too then?
Yeah, so USC wins. TCU loses. So would you drop TCU?
Well, I got that part, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, what have they done enough? Because top to bottom, you could argue the Big 12 has maybe been the steadiest conference of all of college football this year. Now, they maybe don't have the elite Georgia or elite Ohio State, Michigan, but top to bottom, they've been as strong as Big 10 or SEC, or you could maybe even argue even stronger from a overall average conference standpoint. So yeah, does a TCU loss, which I think people were thinking in their head a few weeks ago, ah, dude, if you lose, you're done. If they lose this week, K-State, who I think is ranked like 10th or 11th, could they still make the playoff?
Yeah, we don't know what they're going to be ranked. They're ranked 3rd right now, or 13th right now, but we don't know what they're going to be ranked. Actually, I'm going to AP. What am I thinking?
Well, they're not going down because they beat KU by 20, so they're going to
be
roughly.
I'm saying we don't know what it is. It might be higher.
Sure. Okay, you're right.
They're 12th right now. They may go up. Because Oregon's going to go down. So USC wins. Okay. So it's basically Ohio State is the conversation, right?
Yeah.
Cause I think, see, this is hard. It's a hard debate to have because we don't know the top four for sure right now, you know, till tomorrow. So you assume USC is going to be in the top four. So is it going to be Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and the USC? If that's what we're going with this
Yes,
week?
Sir. And Ohio State's probably chilling at 5. So let's say USC beats Utah, TCU loses a close one. Does Ohio State, who again, the committee always talks about, dude, the conference championships matter. They matter. But so does name brand.
Well, they wouldn't win the conference championship then too, right? If they lost.
True. But they made it there as opposed to Ohio State who didn't, you know.
Right, but they're not conference championships though. They're not a champion.
You're right.
So that takes that argument out because they're not a champion.
But they played in it as opposed to not even making it.
Sure. But then again, you could say, okay, who did they lose to? And then who did – Michigan may be the number one team in the land on Tuesday. You never know. I mean, I think they'd move Ohio State up, to be honest with you.
That's what I think would happen. Okay.
That's what I think would happen. Yep, I do. Now, I agree with you. If you look at the top 10 teams or whatever, it's more competitive.
Sure.
But if you look at ranked teams, you know, like when you look at TCU now compared to when we were looking at their AP numbers, right, how many ranked teams in the AP did they beat, right, compared to how many ranked teams at the end of the year. And you can do that for multiple teams, by the way, too. USC is one of them. Ohio State's one of them, too. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to just go off that. But if I think Ohio State would move up. That's what I think would happen.
Okay.
At TCU, I think they would because of their loss. Who's their loss to? Well, Michigan. Okay, so who's their – okay, Kansas State. Good team. And they could lose this game. I mean, they were down by what, 17 or 18?
And then the quarterback like injury brigade happened. Yeah, you're right.
Both of them. You're right. Both of them went out, whereas they got their number one guy now. Well, number two, but now number one, Howard, we know is a better passer and runner. So yeah, I think they would. I think the Ohio State would get in. Do you think Michigan should go over Georgia for this one win, for a week? Because they did beat, the fourth ranked team? Or what was it? I forgot.
Yeah, I think just again, cause part of this is politics, cause you could argue that USC was maybe a little too high from the start when this whole college football playoff committee thing started. So again, I think the names on the jerseys matter. Unfortunately, so I do think that with it being the SEC school, I don't think Georgia gets surpassed. I think Georgia stays up there at one, even though they didn't look great against Georgia.
Even though
Tech,
they
whatever.
Beat the number but, two team in the country right below them.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that Georgia stays number one
period. Sure. I'm not saying that's right. Just
based off the and their best win is Tennessee.
True. Right? Yeah.
So that's it, yeah. I think that's fair because there is two different answers in both of those. Like, what do I think? What do I think it should be, or what will it be? That is interesting. But let's move on. We gotta go. Okay. We gotta go. We're up 44 minutes. Well, the rematch. Let's talk about it. I know there's some big games in there, but Friday night will be the first big game. USC, Utah. It happened October 15th. I remember that because there was I had the weekend off. I spent the weekend up with my sisters and nieces and nephews, hanging out with them. And Deontay Wilder is my nephew's favorite fighter, or second favorite fighter behind Pacquiao. So I went up there. So I remember October 15th, and I remember that night I had USC, I think, plus 2.5 or plus 3. They obviously still covered because, you know, how that went down. But 3-point favorite right now, I believe it opened at 2.5 towards USC. I mean, the quarterback for Utah played out of his mind rising that night. I mean, he played out of his mind. I remember we both were like, eh, that'll be the difference because they don't have the quarterback, that type of thing. How you feel going into this? Because you could still see that, you know, that run defense of USC still could be a problem, especially in a team that is like this, right? I mean, Utah, they average 220, and they can throw the ball. What says you going into this one? Because, like I said, that they should have – they probably should have won that first game as far as how – and I'm saying USC – as far as how the game played out. They obviously didn't win it. But when you look at the game, they were up, you know, at times 21-7. They were up a touchdown for most of the second half. They go up by a touchdown. And then ultimately, you know, they ended up going for two, I believe, to get up 43-42. How do you see this one playing out? Because this is one that I'm really anticipating. And I just think in the last 6 weeks, we've seen, you know, USC improve enough to, you know, get over the hump, in my opinion.
I'd like to formally request first that we have a different set of refs than we had at that first game, which I think should be a given because the refs was a little shadiness going on there from a USC fan. I didn't like some of those late flags. So if there's a new bunch of refs, and the game, on a serious note, is in Vegas. So that kind of kills the Utah home crowd because that place is one of the most probably underdog-known places that's hard to win at. Like, Utah at home maybe loses a game every year. Like, Whittingham as a coach there is phenomenal. So you got different refs, jokingly. You got a game in Vegas, so it's a neutral stadium. Probably, I would assume, probably be close to a 50-50 crowd base. I'm sure USC will travel there, but I'm sure Utah, that's not a terribly long drive either. And I, obviously for USC, it's win and you're in. I do think if they win that game, they're in the playoff. I guess nothing's ever a guarantee with the committee, but you would feel they'd be in. And I wish I could say the defense is going to step up, Chris, but for the most part, this USC defense has done just enough every week. And that offense has really kind of gone off the deep end and dropped about 40 every game. So could this be a week where Lincoln Riley dials it up and has a decent game plan and they can win the game? Sure. But, I mean, that Cam Rising, he's had some rough games this year, but when you watch him play against USC, that offense was moving about as good as we could. So I feel it's going to be a close game. I do think USC is able to pull it out. I think that Caleb Williams, that offense is humming, and I do think that maybe just having a neutral stadium might be enough of a benefit for USC. I think they get the job done, but I'm still seeing it's going to be a game that I would be shocked if either team scored under 30. If in a game that's a neutral, it's indoor stadium, it's turf, there's no weather affecting it. I think we're in the high 30s, maybe low 40s. I think USC pulls it off, but if this game finishes in the 20s, I'd be heavily surprised, my friend.
Yeah, and it may affect the Heisman at that point, because you figure he's got it. Well, then again, if he had 3 touchdowns, no matter what, if they had 27 points and 3 of them were touchdowns from him or something, but
sure.
It does seem like he's got it locked in, as long as they obviously have to win the game. But yeah, I think USC is going to win. Like I said, that They probably should have won that game. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. I'm a Minnesota sure. fan, so I'm all full. You know, I know all about coulda, woulda, shouldas. But, yeah, I think USC will win. All right, so the rematch. TCU, Kansas State. Kansas State coming in, you know, flashing back to that slow-mo offense where a lot of people that don't watch them a lot will be like, what the hell are they doing? Why is the running back taking so long to pick a hole and run through? It's like, dude, this is what they do. Calm down a little bit. But like I said, the last game that they played.
They were whooping them.
They were 28-10. On a turnover on downs, I'm looking at it right now, it's 28-10, 28-17 at half. They did bounce back nicely. K-State, look at how they ended. K-State, or the second quarter, I should say, second half. Missed field goal, interception, turnover on downs, missed field goal, interception. And they still only lost by 10, if you think about it. that's pretty intense, you know? Like, that's a pretty bad way to perform in the second half, considering now you could say the other one. You know, they played so great early. You know, obviously, having Will Howard, knowing that that's your guy, as long as he can stay healthy, will be a big thing. They obviously ran the crap out of the ball for 215. 56 carries, too. And it wasn't Dugan. It was more that Miller guy. They tried to rush 15 times with Dugan, but only 13 yards. That had to have been some sacks in there. Something telling me the loosey-goosey is going to win the game. Howard, if he plays the whole game, is a pass-run threat like we've been saying. I actually, as much as I'd like to see TCU win, I'm cheering for him, but I am going to pick the upset, the minor upset, Kansas State, in this one. I just think if you look back at that game, you look how they close in the second half, especially without their guy at quarterback, that's a big deal. It will be dramatic. It will be in the 30s, but I actually am picking up the upset, and I hope I'm wrong because I really want to see TCU in there, and maybe they will. If it goes to triple overtime, maybe they end up getting in and Ohio State doesn't. Who knows? But I'm picking the upset, sir.
Well, as we talked about with Brian Kelly in LSU or even Tennessee, like in college football, when you kind of take things for granted, like it's hard to mentally prepare college athletes week after week after week. And TCU's done that over and over and over again. Now, I will say their defense, Chris, has been playing better of late. Now, with that being said,
Good point.
Their defense, though, has improved against
Texas. Iowa State.
They schooled the shit out of Texas because Texas's offense, they made Texas's offense look hideous, which wasn't hideous all year. And then you snuck out one against Baylor and whooped up Iowa State. So, but I will say, I feel that from that K-State game on, the defense has made progress. Mm-hmm. I just, man, but again, looking realistic here, again, neutral site. Again, that last game was at TCU, just like USC played at Utah. So now you're at a neutral site. It's in my backyard at Cowboys Stadium. I think that probably is more of a benefit of who's the more, you know, saw neutral team. TCU might have more fans there, but it's not going to be like driving K-State crazy. So, man, I just
– they haven't had a bye since September 17th, TCU, too.
Just strictly from a gambling odds standpoint, you got to figure this is the slip-up time. And again, that K-State game, I won't forget this play for a long time because I remember texting my buddies. K-State was up 28-10. It was like 3rd and 10 at midfield. They did like quarterback draw. I'm like, what the hell is K-State doing? And I said, if we lose this game, it's going to be because I just remember that. I'm like, that could be a turn of momentum because they ended up punting. TCU went down to score and they go into halftime down 11, said down 18, as you just referenced. So, man, K-State did everything right that game. It's just when they went from Howard to the third-string quarterback, like you said, there was a fumble. There was an awful cross-body field pick. And
I remember that.
Moment of play as you're like, dude, what are you doing? But again, as a third-string quarterback, how often does the head coach
plan on using a third-string quarterback in a top 10 road environment, you know? So,
right.
God, I don't. I think this game is truly a flip of a quarter because, again, to give TCU credit, you could say who gives a shit about what numbers in gambling odds say. We've won every game this year. Whether they're close or not, we've got the job done week after week after week. So that's a tremendous amount of respect to their coaching staff because, again, that is massively hard to do. So I'm going to take K-State. I do think that up until that quarterback injury, they're probably going to win that game. I think this should be probably the most fun game of the weekend to watch overall. I mean, there's a lot riding on it, but I think it should be a fun game. I think K-State gets the job done. I think they stick with their game plan. This game is not at home for TCU, and I think their miracle comes to an end, but hopefully they still make the playoff.
There you have it. Yeah, like I said, I'm definitely cheering for TCU. It's a great story. It means a lot for both these teams because to have, you know, Texas and Oklahoma leaving here soon and to have two, not either one of those, neither one of those teams in the Big Ten, Big 12 championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's something good for that conference. No doubt about it. All right. So we're going to combo both these up. SEC, Big Ten, the big knockers, not so much drama, on paper, anyway. LSU coming in staggering, 17.5-point underdog to Georgia. And then Michigan, 16.5 now, over for Duke. What says you about both these games? I mean, it just feels like, whether it's ugly or not, Georgia and Michigan are going to win these games.
I would be more inclined to bet LSU. I do think 17.5 is a bit much. Obviously, you saw the poor side of LSU, which we've seen when they played against A&M and Tennessee. But we've also seen an LSU team where at times, again, they almost play themselves into the playoff. They're ranked fifth last week or whatever, sixth. So I think that the 17.5 is too much love for Georgia's team, and well, mainly their offense. But I do think Georgia wins. So I would take Georgia to win. I'll take LSU to cover. And man, if you're Purdue, just, good luck. Like I think normally we have talked a lot about letdown spots, Chris, but again, this was the same as last year. Like last year, okay, like Michigan, you beat Ohio State, you beat your rival. What's going to happen? Last year they steamrolled in the Big Ten title game. Now again, you beat your rival, you're riding high. I think that sometimes instead of a letdown spot, Your momentum just has you like on like Nirvana. Like, I don't think it's a letdown. I think it's Michigan's like, dude, this year our goal is to win a title. Like, last year we were getting close. This year, we're going to keep our foot down on the pedal. Let's keep rolling. And, I mean, Purdue's a fun team to watch. They always seem to have a pretty good game plan with their head coach, Jeff Brohm. They have a good quarterback in Aiden O'Connell. I kind of like cheering for the team. But from what you just saw, what they did to Ohio State, who no one's really shut them down all year, Marvin Harrison disappeared, a Heisman quarterback, scored 3 points in the second half. What could Purdue do, Chris, that's going to be able to, you know, compete with Michigan with the high they're on?
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like I said earlier, there is a possibility if you watch Michigan games this year at half, I wouldn't be surprised if Purdue's in the game.
Sure.
Because of the letdown spot too, in a sense of not putting on your best display off of this huge victory, right? So I could see it being a decent game. And
that's fair.
Like in the, you know, with about midway through the third, all of a sudden they cover, you know what I mean? They cover. So I agree with the LSU, 17.5. I would take the 17.5 just because I do think now all of a sudden, right, you'll have a motivated LSU, an embarrassed LSU team. Like, what the fuck did we just do? We can still get a 10-win season here. It still helps us in the long run for our rankings and ultimately where we're going to be placed in the bowl. Because after all, they beat Alabama. And now Tennessee, it'll be interesting now that they dropped another game and they don't have their quarterback. It'll be interesting to see where they end up at the end of the season as far as bowl game and all that. So yeah, I think LSU will not win, but I do see them covering. I think I'm going to try to jump on that tonight. And then North Carolina, Clemson, both stuttering down the stretch, losing a game right before, thinking, hey, we're looking forward to the next week, but it got them.
and also a rematch, UCF Tulane. I like Tulane to win. I don't know. I think it's going to be a tight game, so I'm kind of hoping that goes down a little bit. I mean, it's 3 points. They got to win by four, but I would just – I don't know. I think it will be within 3 points, but I like Tulane, and I'm kind of stuck on the Clemson-North Carolina thing, to be honest with you. I think Clemson has a better defense, even though it didn't show in the last one. Of course, you know, I guess you could say South Carolina was just – a different beast they've been the last couple of weeks, but kind of stuck on that one as far as covering. I think Clemson will win, but I don't know. That 7.5 seems a lot right now for a stuttering, now 2 years in a row stuttering, and almost 3 years, but now 2 years in a row stuttering offense for Clemson. In North Carolina, you know, all of a sudden they're not the juggernaut on offense of late anyway. So I think it makes for a better game, but there is no national component with this one, you know?
Yeah, that Carolina team, they've had some weird losses this year. Like, I think there was a lot of hype for this quarterback in May, and maybe he will be a good pro quarterback. We don't know. It's definitely possible, but even coming down the stretch, they've not been that explosive offense they were showing at the start of the year when they had that crazy game with App State where it was like 58-56, like 50 points in the fourth quarter kind of deal. I think that's kind of disappeared. But I'm never going to go on the show and pick Clemson to win a game. So I will take my Tar Heels, even though I'm a basketball fan. I'll take them to win. Like you said, both teams, who's more focused? Like, neither team is going to make the championship, but I'm sure there's still a good amount of pride for winning the ACC. And Chris, when's the last time Clemson didn't win the ACC title game? It's been a minute. I know that. So maybe get a new blood to win the ACC title, but we'll see.
Well, didn't Pitt win it last year?
Oh, God, did I just sound like an idiot? That might have been true. All right, well, that's fair. That's why you're here.
It's already been, and now it might be 2 years.
Okay, well, you know what? That's why
you
know,
it was automatic.
And you fact-checked for me. But, yeah, that Clemson had been on a good run. And for Tulane, that's just a great story. Like, that team, like, holy shit, like, what? You beat K-State, who has obviously had a hell of a year. You were just able to knock off Cincy and put yourself to be able to host a title game. You got some of the sickest jerseys in all of college sports. I love the Green Wave. I'm just biased here. I think their unis are always pretty awesome. And I hope they get the job done. And that's one cool thing about some of these, not even smaller. I guess they are smaller, like the Big Ten or the SEC per se. But I do like that these smaller conferences host, the team who had the best record gets to host the title game. Like, that's badass. Like,
I agree.
I mean, I get that if you're the Big 12, okay, you're going to play at Cowboys Stadium, the Pac 12, you're playing in Vegas. Like, maybe that does bring some allure and it's a cool step for the fans. But if you're a team, I'm sure TCU or USC would love to host their title game. Like, and that's not what they probably deserve. It's just that money talks for venues, but yeah, I'll take Tulane and their home crowd to knock off UCF as well, my friend.
Fresno Boise State should be interesting as well. I think that about wraps it up, sir.
Well,
let's shut her down.
It was a very, very fun year of college football, and with as crazy as it's been, something crazy has to happen this weekend. It has been too smooth, Chris, the way this year has gone, for this to be a bunch of chalk on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to doing a review show on Monday because something crazy will occur. And on that note, we're out. Everyone stay safe, stay warm. It's getting that time of the year. You just have to stay inside, watch football, and watch a lot of sports. Have a good night. We're out. Peace.